May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 181. Believers own they are but blind, they know themselves unwise, but wisdom in the Lord they find, who opens all their eyes. Hymn 181.
Thank you. wonder if there are those here that, in a spiritual way, have eaten the flesh and drunk the blood of our Lord, but as yet have not done so at the Lord's table. You sung those words. May the Lord constrain you to do that in remembrance of him. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, Deuteronomy chapter 32. We'll actually begin reading in the last verse of chapter 31. We'll read through to verse 44. So Deuteronomy chapter 32. From verse 30 in chapter 31. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. Butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshuan waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that newly came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them, I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them, I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger, and devoured with burning heat, and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them, with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of grey hairs. I said I would scatter them into corners, I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, Our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000, and 2 put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom, and the fields of Gomorrah, their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons, and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me, and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people, and repent himself for his servants, when he seeth that their power is gone, and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, Where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I, even I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live for ever. If I wet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives, from the beginning of the revengers upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea the son of Nun. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May he bless it to us and help us in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father in heaven, thou ever merciful and gracious God, thou in whom is the seat of everlasting love and mercy and grace. O Lord, we thank thee for that word. We love him because he first loved us. And your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but knoweth all things. And Lord, thou knoweth our gathering here this evening. We do seek, Lord, a true spirit of worship, that we might reverence thy great and thy holy name. O Lord, that we might bow before thy throne. For Lord, one day we shall all stand before thy throne. But Lord, do grant that we might know here below that though heaven is thy throne, the earth is thy footstool. And we think of dear Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. Lord, may there be the Marys here this evening. Lord, if there are those that have come in from many toils and they are, like Martha, careful, troubled about many things, Lord, do help them to lay aside every weight, the sin that doth so easily beset them, and that this evening they might hear thy word, that thou would send forth thy spirit with the word, and that it might come and settle, distill upon the hearts that thou hast prepared and made ready, that they might drink in thy word, they might know the preciousness of the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the suitability of it to their case, and know that thou hast caused them to hear it. O do grant that sinners denying might hear the good tidings of the gospel of thy grace. Lord, do grant to thy people deliverances. Command deliverances for Jacob. Do grant thy appearing for thy people, that thou hast be pleased to visit them, answer their prayers, help them, go before them, fulfill thy promises to them. Lord, that thou hast be pleased to reveal thyself as the one behind every dealing in providence, in grace, the words heard, those times when we perhaps have trembled to take the word laid upon our spirit as really being spoken to us. We long that we should and could, but Lord, do set thy seal to every word that thou hast spoken to thy people. Hast thou not said of thy spirit that should come, thy spirit that has come, the Holy Comforter, that he shall bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever I have said unto you? Be pleased, Lord, to use the ministry in this way this evening, and other times as well, that there might be a bring to remembrance, a remembering all the way, a remembering the spot and places May thou didst meet with us, remembering those circumstances that we were in when thou didst send thy word and heal us and bless us. O Lord, we do seek that we might be able to discern the King's seal upon thy word. We might know it has come from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank thee for a faithful translation in our own tongue of thy word, and we pray for grace and help to preach the word and thou speak to the people through the minister this evening. We pray thy blessing upon the church and congregation here. We thank thee for them. Bless their dear deacons who continue to be with them. Answer their prayers, their petitions, and may they yet see thine offspring come and hear what thou hast done for their souls. And O Lord, do be with each one, those that cannot come out this evening, those who are with the little ones, do be with them, and do bless each family, but bless each church represented too. We thank thee for visiting friends and brethren. And O Lord, do not forget those that are online. We thank thee for that means that we now have. And for those that are at such a distance, they're not able to gather with us here, or maybe those unwell, or those at home with the children, that they can still hear thy word. And thou hast said that they that remain at home, that they shall part alike. And we pray thy blessing upon this means. Do remember the people of Swazi. Thou hast put the candlestick here. And we pray that those especially that have received a Bible from the Bible boxes, Lord, that they might read it, they might be blessed to them, and that thou hast worked in them a desire to come and hear the word preached here. We thank thee that thy covenant is a sure covenant. And though we live in very discouraging and dark days, yet we know that not one of thy elect, not one of thy purchased people shall ever be missed, shall ever not receive the gospel. Lord, we would at thy command preach the word, send forth thy word, distribute thy word, and leave the issue with thee. But we do pray that we might see thy grace, we might see sinners saved, that we might walk the path of Barnabas as he came to Antioch and saw the grace of God and was glad. O Lord, we come as sinners before thee. We feel greatly our changeableness, our sinnership, our slowness to learn, our need of chastening again and again. O Lord, do wash and cleanse our sins. Renew us unto repentance. Pluck our feet out of the snares that, touching one another, they are so close together, we can hardly take a step without going into another snare. O Lord, do make us discerning, make us wise. Deliver us, O Lord, from that way, even that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Grant us holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Grant, Lord, that we might clearly see the enemy's work. We read of thee, Lord Jesus, that in thee there is no darkness at all. O Lord, help us to use that to test everything that is brought before us. Is there any darkness? Is there any deceit? Is there any falsehood? Do grant, Lord, that thou hast help us. Deliver us from the imaginations of an evil, wicked and sinful heart. Lord, there are some of us in our natural professions, we have needed a very vivid imagination to be able to design and do things. But on the other hand, that very same asset and blessing is such a snare and such a trial to us. Remember those here that may have those things in them, characteristics and traits that on one hand is a blessing, on the other hand is a curse. One hand it is a help, and the other hand it so needs to be reined in. O Lord, do help, thou knowest the individual cases, the difficulties, perplexities, but we know and we do thank thee for that one remedy in the gospel. We thank thee for our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank thee for that great gift that thou, our Heavenly Father, hath given in thy beloved Son, and the gift that thou hast assured us that thou wilt give when we ask the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. And O Lord, we thank thee for the spotless, pure life of the Son of Man, for his sacrificial death, for his rising again, the empty tomb, for thine intercession in heaven, an ascended Saviour, a Saviour that lives to carry on his people's cause above. Lord, we bless thee for the gospel, and we do bless thee for the means of the gospel to be conveyed through the preaching of the word by sinners to sinners. And Lord, as we gather this evening in that way and with that expectation that thou would send thy blessing upon thy word, may each soul here be precious in thy sight. And Lord, that thou hast worked wonderfully this evening. Give us thankful hearts for every blessing. Keep us from murmuring, complaining. Deliver us from our fears, and set our hopes and expectations upon thee and thee alone. We ask, Lord, these mercies through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 795. Mighty enemies without, much mightier within, thoughts we cannot quell or rout, blasphemously obscene, coldness, unbelief and pride, hell and all its murderous train threaten death on every side and have their thousands slain. Hymn 795.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to Deuteronomy chapter 32, reading for our text, verse 2. Verse 2, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2. I believe what we have here is the doctrine of Christ, the gospel, being set before us through Moses' mouth. This is a sacred time as we read the last days of Moses. Moses giving his charge to the children of Israel here in song that we've read this evening, and later on the blessings to the children of Israel, and then we read of his death. In one sense, Moses typifies the law. He was not allowed to go into the promised land. It was him that was the means of the law being given by God to Israel. And we think of the Mount of Transfiguration and Moses setting forth the law and Elijah setting forth the prophets, and they saw then no man but Jesus only. Our Lord Jesus Christ fulfilling the law and fulfilling all of the prophecies and coming. Our centre, our attention is on the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be something wrong if Moses comes to the end of his life and he's not pointing to the gospel, he's not pointing to Christ. He is. Our Lord clearly set forth that he spoke of me. And our Lord and Moses said, a prophet shall the Lord thy God raise up unto you like unto me, him shall ye hear. One thing that Moses was, he was meek above all men upon the earth. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is when you have mighty power and you don't actually exert it. You choose not to exert that power, but to show quietness and gentleness, though firmness. But here we have then a text that sets forth the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And what really is upon my spirit tonight is gentleness. The difference between what we find in Hebrews 12, where we have the law spoken of as the mount that cannot be touched, that burned with fire, the trumpet, the severity of the law, man breaking the law in gathering sticks on the Lord's day was stoned, the woman taken in adultery would have been stoned. There was no mercy in the law. It had to be fulfilled in every jot and tittle. But our Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law, make it honourable, and so that then he may show mercy to those that he suffered, bled, and died for. And we need to realize what the gospel is, and this is so much upon my spirit here. Our text begins with the my doctrine, and I want to look in the first place at the gentleness of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, our Lord, and then secondly the gentleness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ itself. It is gentle on sinners. And then we have the way the gospel is actually conveyed. And this is in our text. How gently that comes. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, as the showers upon the grass. That's how the gospel is conveyed. And in each step, it is done in a gentle way. Now, let's think with our first point. You think the Some of you children with the hymns, Gentle Jesus, Meek and Mild, you think of some of those other hymns that speak of his gentleness. It does with the carols as well, and how their Lord's coming was so gentle, so silent on that night when our Lord was born, coming as a babe, not coming as a great warrior, flaming and with great heralds. Yes, the heralds to the shepherds, but not in a great way that was in all terrors, or like we would think of great rulers of the world coming. He comes so gently, so quietly, and even when he begins his ministry, he begins his ministry with his baptism, with his temptations, with opening up Isaiah, reading those blessed words that this is now fulfilled in your ears. What was the Lord? What was those words? And you think of the gentleness of those, that prophecy in Isaiah 61. And this is how the Lord begins his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Well, what is the Spirit of the Lord God that is upon the Lord Jesus Christ that is going to characterize himself and his gospel? It is to preach good tidings unto the meek, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of the prison to them that are bound, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, all of this is speaks to the gentleness of the gospel and of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the gospel, who is the good news. And when we think of how he was set forth in the Old Testament and how he was heralded by John the Baptist, behold, the Lamb of God. What other animal could be set forth that is so gentle, so quiet? Was not that what Philip began in preaching in Isaiah? That lamb, sheep, before her shearers is dumb. A lamb, he goes to the slaughter, opens not his mouth. And this is how the Lord Jesus Christ is portrayed and set forth. And you would expect then that if he that is bringing the gospel and bringing himself as a sacrifice, when he would then speak to his servants and tell them how they are going to be, that it would be reflected the same. And so Paul, he writes to Timothy, and he said, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but must be gentle unto all men, just the same as their master. And then he says to the Thessalonians, you know what manner of men we were among you, how gently we dealt with you. He lived that out, he walked that out. But our attention is pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, his character, his person, who he is. When we think of our Lord saying to sinners, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden. What a blessed thing to realise the person that is inviting to come is not an angry judge, is not one that is going to condemn, not one that is going to appear gentle in coming, but when you come, that he's not. And we need to remember that this is the gospel that is of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we look at him first. We look at the one who gave himself, who suffered, who bled and died. What manner of person is he? What manner of man? And in all through the Gospels, in all through the Word, he is the same. gentle to sinners, welcoming. When he had those of his disciples to send away the children, suffer the children to come unto me, forbid them not. In every way, he didn't come across as austere, hard, cold, angry. Completely the opposite. What a hindrance it is if we think that we will receive a bad reception if we're going to come and confess a sin. Now, you know, I remember back, and some of you children here, probably the age I would have been then, maybe 10, 12, 11 or 12, and one of my friends, he had a person, a neighbour that he knew, and they got a dartboard in the shed, in the garage, and we were allowed to go and use this. So we went and used it, but the dartboard must have been very old, because one or two hits and that, the thing fell apart. Well, my friend, blame me, I'd done it. Now, he said, you must go and tell the owner, otherwise I'm going to get blamed for it. You've got to own up for it. Well, I tell you what, I was so fearful. I didn't know this man. My friend knew him, as his neighbour, not mine. And I was so fearful, but I thought, well, I better go. So I went, and instead of being angry, he said, oh, it's only an old dartboard. He said, that's quite all right, no problem at all. And all my fears that were stopping me from going and owning up to this, if I knew I'd have knew what kind of reception I would have got, I would have gone much earlier. And it would have easier then told him. But when you're thinking, no, you're going to get angry reception, they're going to be very cross, and you know, maybe I've got to be made to pay for this dartboard, that really holds you back. So it's important. If we're going to have the words, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and to come unto him as a sinner, a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, and one that knows we are guilty, knows that we deserve wrath and deserve the Lord to be angry with us, but then we are assured that this man receiveth sinners. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what I want, the first thing I want to convey this evening. I mean, those of us who know the Lord, whenever we read that part when the man went and dug and buried his talent in the earth, and he said, I knew thee that thou wast an austere man. He didn't know the Lord. He didn't know the Lord. If he viewed him as a man that was so hard and so frightful that he daren't do anything with his money, he'd just rather just bury it and then say that he's a very austere man. No. The Lord is gentle. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, God's only begotten Son. Why did he come to this world? Why did he agree to suffer, bleed and die? Was it not that he loved his people? God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All of these words are to convey to us what the Lord is, his character. May we be emboldened to come as a sinner, to come humbly, but to come before him, to come before the mercy seat, to come before that blood-sprinkled mercy seat. Well, the second thing is the gentleness of his gospel, the doctrine of the gospel itself. What is the actual gospel and how is it gentle? We have some very illustrations of it, even by the enemies of the Lord and the enemies of the gospel. Those who brought the woman that was taken in adultery and said, Moses commanded that this should be stoned, but what sayest thou? And the way the Lord dealt with it, now he said to them, that him that is without sin among you first cast a stone at her, and then he just stoops down and starts writing. We don't know what he is writing. on the ground. Maybe he was writing the law out, you don't know. But whatever it was, the Spirit worked that they went out one by one, convicted in their own consciences. All of them are sinners. He rises up, he says, "Woman, hath no man condemned thee? No man, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And we have in that instance such a contrast between the law and the gospel. Is the Lord saying, it doesn't matter about sinning? No, not at all. He's saying, go and sin no more. Does he say there should not be any payment? No, not at all, because he himself was going to suffer, bleed and die upon the cross to pay that debt that that woman owed. How vital it is, the Lord, in his justness and holiness, to realise that he doesn't just pass by sin. He passes by the sin of his people because he has paid for it himself. He has settled that debt himself. We have the very words that describe the gospel of God. Paul writing to the Ephesians, he says, by grace ye are saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And so the gospel is presented as something that is a complete gift. Grace is free, unmerited favour of God, the kindness of God in the face of active demerit, active provocation. And that is how the gospel is set forth. The gospel is set forth as mercy, not deserved, free favour of God, the mercy of God. The gospel is set forth as that which is finished, the words of our Lord upon the cross. The debt is paid, is finished. An empty tomb, the wrath of God, extinguished on the Lord Jesus Christ, him bearing the wrath of God. I like that word, it occurs a couple of times. In 1 John it speaks of it, about the propitiation for our sins, the wrath-ending sacrifice. It ends the wrath of God. And that's very important when we think of the gentleness of the gospel. We're coming to that provision of God for sinners in which there is no wrath. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has endured that wrath and had the fire, as it were, of justice put upon him. We think also of the demands of the gospel upon a sinner. Now, each time when the Lord preached, when the disciples preached, the message was to believe. It wasn't do this, do that. It wasn't lots of rigorous tasks. Even when the eunuch was asked, and you'd think Philip, after he'd had the disappointment of Simon the sorcerer falsely being baptized and heart was not right, that he would have really grilled the eunuch as to what he really did believe, whether his heart was right. But you know, Philip, he knew he'd been sent to that chariot. He knew where the eunuch had been reading. He knew where he'd been going. He would have sensed as he was preaching that eunuch hanging upon his every word. He would have known that the Lord had sent him there. And where the Lord sends a man, then he'll bless that person. And he no doubt preached unto him not only Christ, but baptism and what it signifies, buried with Christ, risen again in newness of life. And so when they came to water, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And the only condition that he set forth, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And upon that profession he is baptized. You might say a gentle gospel, a gentle requirement that was actually required of them. And you think of the gospel in all that it is set forth is not to be as lords over the heritage of the Lord, but to herald and proclaim what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for his people. It is good news, not bad news. It is good news for sinners. Now, very often when the Lord begins with a sinner, as we read, it is the Lord that casts down and the Lord that brings up. It is God's work to convict of sin. It is God's work then to bring that sinner to the sinner's friend and the one who has suffered for sin. And so God's work in itself, as Paul says, the law is a schoolmaster unto Christ. So under the law, we'll find what the law is like and find that that is a hard schoolmaster, that does demand and doesn't give strength and doesn't give help and doesn't give relief. But the law is not the gospel. It is the schoolmaster to it. And those that are under the law, and if there are those of you here that feel what sin is, you sung of it in your middle hymn, those that efforts to do what's right, unable quite, almost as unwilling too at times. And Apostle Paul, the sin, the evil that I would not that I do, the good that I would I do not, a wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? The evil and sin within, the law demanding perfect obedience without, and Paul's answer, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. So then with my flesh, I serve the law of sin, but with my mind, the law of Christ. It is not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Paul, he says, I find a law within me that when I would do good, evil is present within me. The original sin that wells up, that is like a fountain. If it was springing up and you try to stop that water and it springs up there and you stop there and it springs up there and you can't stop it because it casts up uncleanness. And the Lord's people know that sin remains and will remain all their days. But the antidote is in the Lord. The remedy is unto Christ as oft as sin defiled, a fountain open for sin and all uncleanness, confessing again and again and again. How many times the Lord was asked, shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Nay, till 70 times 7. As if the Lord is saying, you won't wear me out however many times you have to come. Not that we sin that grace might abound. Not that we're sinning carelessly or sinning that we think, well, we'll always be forgiven. No, because sin does have consequences. And the way of transgressors is hard. And the Lord in mercy sometimes will really chasten his children. But that is in love. And even that, we sing rightly in our hymn, the lash is steeped, he on thee lays, yet softened in his blood. I believe all of us who have known the chastening of the Lord will say, thou hast not dealt with me after my sins. There's been mercy mixed with it. In fact, sometimes with the chastening has meant that we've lost money or things have needed to be paid for, we discern the Lord has already given us the money before we needed it. We thought we were going to use it on something nice for ourselves. But the Lord says, no, I gave you that so that you can settle that debt because of your sin. And you see that mercy and you see the kindness and goodness of the Lord. Psalm 107, you know, you get a people there that were rebellious and foolish and tossed to and fro. And all the time they were falling down, there's none to help. They can't have been seeking the Lord first time every time, could they? But when at last they called upon the Lord in their trouble and he delivered them, he didn't say, you came to me last. You can wait. I'm not delivering you this time. There's two times before you did this and you're never learning. No, each time when they cried, then he heard. And at the end of that psalm, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And it's proved by experience. He's not a hard taskmaster. He's a loving, kind, and merciful, long-suffering God. And he's gentle with his children in all that he does. And that is the gospel. May we really know that. Know the difference between law and gospel. When we come to a chapter like Paul writing to the Corinthians, second epistle, and he compares right the way through that chapter of law and gospel, not written in tables of stone, but on the fleshy tables of the heart. And the contrast between that which is of the law and that which is of the gospel, and how it is received by a sinner and how it is set forth. And that contrast, that difference, the Lord will make his children know what the law is, what they deserve, what the Lord endured to completely satisfy that law, and then the good news that he sets before those broken-hearted sinners, those sinners that are mourning, those sinners that are hungering, that are thirsting, those wounded souls. You know, the Lord has said that he has come to bind up those wounds, to comfort those that mourn, to deal with those that have been under the law. The way he deals is in mercy and kindness. So it is also not just the gospel itself, but how that is conveyed to a sinner. And that's what I want to look at in the third place. How is it? And we have a beautiful parable, really, an illustration here in the text. My doctrine or my gospel shall drop as the rain. It shan't come as a storm or a thunderstorm or with sweeping, driving rains, but as from heaven it shall come, and my speech, remember my sheep, they hear my voice, they know me, shall is still as the dew. You can't even see it coming down, but just glistening, it slowly distills upon the ground. As the small rain upon the tender herb. It's not going to flatten it. It's not going to bow it down. Not going to break it. As showers upon the grass. It's an illustration that is so vivid and seen by us all. And that is how the Lord brings his gospel upon the heart. Now you might think, with knowing that, you would always recognize when the Lord has spoken the gospel to you. But you know, it struck me with Samuel, the prophet of the Lord, that was so greatly used of the Lord. When the Lord first spoke to him, and we read, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, he didn't recognize that as the Lord's voice. In fact, he thought it was Eli's voice. He knew Eli very well. And you know, when the Lord speaks through the ministry, he speaks through a minister that is preaching. And you might think that's just the minister's voice. It's just come from the minister. But it doesn't. The Lord speaks through his servants. And often one way you can tell that is that he'll use more than one servant, so that you get the same message, maybe in different ways, but from a different instrument. And you discern that it's the same God that is working through that instrument. It hath pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He that heareth you, heareth me. Heareth me, heareth him that sent me. The Lord speaks in that way. Paul said of the Thessalonians, they received the word of God as it is in truth, the word of God, not the word of man, received it from us. And so that word that is spoken, when it comes and it drops from heaven, but so quietly, so gently, as about hardly realize it is there. Our Lord spoke in John 10 of those that are born again of the Spirit of God. And he used the illustration there of the wind. He said, thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And it was the Spirit that they had to wait before they preached. And with the Thessalonians, the word was not in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. But that power is such a quiet, gentle power. You know, I love this time of year, this spring time of year. We've had months we go through and all of the trees, they're all bare. They're all just looking dead sticks. But as you go through the country, say a few weeks back, and you slowly get a green sheen, that dry wood is starting to look slightly green. And day by day it gets greener and greener. And you think over this whole side of the world, with no sound, with no commotion at all, these buds are slowly all opening. What power is there? And yet what gentleness is there? You go along the footpath, a tarmac footpath, and there's a little crack in the tarmac. You go along the next day, and there's a little shoot coming up, and this plant, this weak plant, has come up through the tarmac. No sound, no jackhammers, and it's just happened. You know, sometimes when I'm seeking of the Lord for a text and the Lord show me where to preach from, and you can ransack the word of God and not find anything. So I go for a walk and ask the Lord, Lord, show me. Lord, bring me a word upon my spirit. And I'll be walking along and I suddenly think, oh, I'm meditating upon a part of the word now. When did that begin? When did I first start thinking of that scripture? Was it a block back? Was it that house back? And I can't tell when I started. I just knew that just a part of scripture was going over in my mind. I was meditating upon it. And that is how the Spirit works, how he comes. So gently, so quietly. And sometimes it is after the preached word as well. Bringing to remembrance. Perhaps in the middle of the night, or perhaps next day or a few days later, a text comes to your mind. Maybe it's sweetness and you're thinking upon this word. You think, that was the text. Well, that was what a minister preached from on the Lord's Day. It didn't register then, but now it has. And it's come with sweetness. He shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. And it is the way that the word actually brings, the way it is conveyed to the soul, reflects the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, his gentleness. The Psalms say, thy gentleness has made me great. And for every sinner, we may say, it is the gentleness of the Lord that has made his people great. You know, the blessing on the preached word, it doesn't rely upon the Lord's servant, and I know we all have different manners, but it doesn't rely upon him yelling or screaming or in any demonstration. It relies upon the word. The power is in the word of God. You know, when Peter spoke to those at Cornelius' household, all we read of is that while he spake, the Spirit fell. You think of that first Pentecost, the first time the Spirit fell with the Jews. You think if ever there was to be a time when the gospel was going to come, not gently but severely, would be on those who literally had crucified the Lord. But what did the apostle say? The Spirit was given. He said, ye are taken by wicked hands, crucified and slain. But when he saw that they were picked in their hearts and crying out, what shall we do? He doesn't berate them. He just exhorts them to repent, to believe, they and be baptized. Those that would gladly received his word were baptized. If there was ever a time that you would think the apostle would be so severe, he charged them with the death, that was very clear. But when he set forth mercy, when he set forth a way of escape, when he set forth the Lord's words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, the very spirit of those words, it was in the gentleness of the gospel. Sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. Unto you which believe, he is precious. And he comes to his dear people then through the word, dropping as doctrine, precious truths dropping into the soul, understanding opened, things that you'd perhaps read many times before, but the Lord coming and showing that to your soul, his speech, what he is actually saying. When he was upon earth, they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. The Lord is known. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And one thing I believe all the Lord's people know, and we referred to Samuel before, Samuel, he became established as a prophet of the Lord. I think it's in chapter 3 of that first of Samuel. The Lord appeared to Samuel again by the word of the Lord. That's how he appeared to him. And once Samuel knew the Lord, then he knew him again and again. And there are times with us that the way the Lord comes is not just what is said, it's not just the doctrine, but is the way it comes that is recognized by the people of God. The gentleness, how it softens the spirit, how it draws the affections, or like the two on the way to Emmaus, how it warms the heart. The effect of it, that is recognized as the Lord. And sometimes I've known it just by the effect, sitting at my desk, sitting in my study, and the Lord just coming, just softening, or through a hymn, through a word. And the gospel opens. The Lord Jesus Christ is made known by that very, you might say, seal of the gospel. That is coming like it has come before, and it's coming with the same effect, and it's coming with the same gentleness. My doctrine, not man's, is it? My speech, not man's speech, is it? The Lord's speech, speaking to his children, speaking to his people. Be not silent unto me, lest if thou be silent unto me, I become like them that go down into the pit. That when the Lord opens his mouth for his people, and then they hear him, the Lord says, my sheep, they follow me. It's a blessed thing to be a follower of the Lord, a follower of the gentle Lamb of God, and with the people of God. Well, I hope this evening there'll be something that has struck a chord with some of you that know the Lord in this way. His gentleness, his person, the doctrine, and the way it is conveyed. And there'll be those of you too may be exercised on church membership or following the Lord. And you think, how can I? How can I come before church? How can I approach deacons? How can I approach ministers? And perhaps the thought is this, that, well, there's some great person that will grill you and examine you and won't understand. And there's the fear of man that is bringing a snare. But when you think of Paul's message to Timothy to be gentle unto all men, then the people of God, the church of God, they will be like that. All of the people of God, the Lord sets himself before them. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I hope if there are those of you who viewed the Lord as an angry judge, or perhaps in any way, feeling like I did with the going to the man with his dartboard, that be taken away. And you view the Lord and you hear the Lord. Come unto me and you see the Lord who he is. See his doctrine and see the way the word has come. And those of you who think, well, if the blessings were really real with me, it would be like Naaman was expecting. I thought the prophet would come out. He'd speak these words. He'd do something wonderful, something dramatic. But all he said was to go and wash in Jordan 7 times. He was offended at that. Now, sometimes we forget their words. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Seek them not. It's real things. That's what we want. Real things. When the Lord drops peace and drops pardon and mercy into our souls, they are real things. They are real. And you might think, how can I convey that to a church? But you're not just conveying what words were blessed to you. You're conveying the effect that it had upon you. And you know, if you were to try and tell to someone about what you'd been through in an operation or something like that, experience that, you try to tell someone who'd never had an operation, you could use many, many, many words to describe it and they'd never really enter into it. You try to tell someone who'd had the same operation, you've only got to give a hint and they interpret what you have been through by what they have been through. And that's the same with the people of God. You only need to give a broken hint to the people of God who have experienced those blessings and they will immediately recognise that this is the Lord's hand. This is what I have felt. And their mind will go back to that. And part of this as well is the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord brings us into those things, those sacred times, this is what the Lord has gone through. This is what he has endured for me. Fellowship with him in his sufferings. So may we remember this. Coming to the church of God, we come to fellow sinners, fellow partakers of the gospel in all its gentleness and suitableness for poor sinners. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening and Mr. Chapman is expected to preach next Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 117. 117. Awake, sweet gratitude, and sing the ascended Saviour's love. Sing how he lives to carry on his people's cause above. Hymn 117.
Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.